Appreciate all the good testimonies. Good warning. I have some scripture on my heart that I'd like to share with you. If you would turn with me to Genesis chapter 28. I want everybody to continue to follow the Lord in this service. That's what I'm going to try to do. Genesis chapter 28, beginning with verse 10. I want to read about Jacob's vision dream here, beginning with this 10th verse. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted up on a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. Thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And I want you to listen after Jacob had seen these visions that God had given him in this dream. I want you to listen to what he said here in the next verse. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. That finishes that 28th chapter of Genesis for a reading today. I want to share with you some things today about the house of God. I want to speak for a little while about going to the house of God. Jacob felt like that's what he had done here, that he had been in a place and he had experienced things here that came from God. You know, we have many accounts in the scriptures, and I believe that it's happened many times after the completion of the scriptures, but we have many accounts in the scriptures of the Lord coming to his people at different times and showing them some amazing things. We read of different times throughout the Bible where people had visions, where God opened up their heart and mind and showed them visions of things. And, you know, certainly this was one of those places, if you could imagine, you know, seeing in a vision. And I've always said this, I believe every time I've spoke about these scriptures, that we need to understand that this dream that Jacob had here, that's what it was. It was a vision that the Lord gave unto him. He showed him things in this dream. And if you could imagine, you know, seeing a vision of a ladder that would reach all the way from earth and the top of it to heaven, and angels just running up and down this ladder. That's what he saw in this vision. And before that any structure had ever been built, before that any house had ever been erected and designated as a place of worship, Jacob here at this place where he had experienced things from the Lord, said, "This is the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." And he even set a stone there and said, "This stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house." You know, it was, I believe, that stone for him was one of the Ebenezer stones in his life. Something remarkable there happened to him. And so I want us to think today, and the Lord put this very much on my heart today, and I just trust that he will use it, you know, however he needs to. But we need to think, I believe, today about the house of the Lord. And I want to also, I want to share some scripture. If you would, turn with me to the second chapter of Ephesians for just a moment. And I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 19. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." Now, this is in reference, this is not talking about a brick and wood building. This is talking about the church, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. And so, as I said, I want us to think about the house of God here for just a few moments. And we can see throughout the scriptures that as we again think about this place there where Jacob was at, laying down on and using a stone or stones for pillows, and setting a stone there and calling it the house of God. Now, if we look in the 122nd Psalm, one of the most popular scriptures concerning the house of God is in the 122nd Psalm in verse 1. We have that verse there where the psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And, you know, in the day of David, in his day, the house of the Lord would have referred to the tabernacle. In the days of Solomon, you know, his son, just shortly after David, in the days of Solomon, the house of the Lord would have referred to a more permanent structure, that being the temple that Solomon had built. And so we know that in the in the scriptures that the term the house of God in different times refers to different things, different places. And Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, we are the house of God. We are that spiritual house. We are that house that God has established and designated as a habitation of God through the Spirit. It was His church. It was the Lord's church that has the promise that He would always be with her, that He would always occupy here, that He would always be among us. And, the power of the Holy Spirit came up on the church there at the day of Pentecost. And I believe that that power has been with the church ever since that day and is still with the true church today. The Lord is still present with His church today. And so we are that spiritual house of God. Now, I believe that this place that we have built, this place here that has been made of brick and wood and has been built by the hands of men and has been designated and has been sanctified and set aside for the purpose of a house of worship, I believe that it is proper to call this the house of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 13, in that 21st chapter of Matthew, when you read about Jesus coming into the temple there overthrowing the tables of the money changers there, he said in Matthew 21, 13, and he said unto them, "It is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." And so we can also reference God's house as the house of God, but also as the house of prayer. And we could also call it a house of worship. What do we do when we come here from time to time? On the times that we have designated as a body of people, we come here primarily to worship the Lord, don't we? To worship Him, to praise God, to praise the one that made us, to praise the one that not only created us, but also created us again in Christ Jesus when He saved us from our sins, to pay our respects and our admiration to the one that has done more for us than anybody has ever done. It's so important. I want to back up just a moment. When we leave here today and we go our separate ways, when this service comes to a close and we still, we turn off the lights and we leave here and there's nobody in this place, there's going to still exist Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, because it's not the building, it's the people. It's those that have been saved and baptized, scripturally baptized. It's that body of baptized believers that make up the Lord's house, the house of God, the church of the living God. But it is of utmost importance that we do what we're doing here today. It was so important to the Lord that He inspired the writer of the Hebrew letter to write that this is something that should not be forsaken. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Don't come to church once a month. Don't come to church once every 6 weeks. Come all the time. Don't forsake it. Listen, for a child of God, this ought to be the most important gathering of the week. I mean, what we do here when we come to the house of God, we're going to be exposed to things And we're going to do things that we don't do any other time. Collectively, I'm saying. Collectively. We come to unite here today. We ought to be of one mind. We ought to be of one accord. We ought to have a single purpose today, and that's to honor God and praise Him and say, Lord, I'm here today to do what you told me to do in your word. I'm here today to assemble and to not forsake that and to obey the teachings of your word, to be here with my brothers and my sisters in the Lord. I was glad. I was glad. I gladly went. When they came and they said to me, let's go unto the house of the Lord, I was glad to go. I was happy to go. Not just because I was going to have something to do. You know, I've heard people say, I know where my mother grew up. I've heard her say that a lot of times that people went to church perhaps more often than what they do now, because really then there wasn't any place else for them to go. The church was a lot of times where people gathered through the week. They lived in a farm community and they gathered through the week and they saw each other. But I'm telling you, I believe David's statement that he was glad when they said it's time to go to the house of God, went far beyond a social gathering. I love that. I love the fellowship, the social fellowship that we have with each other. I look forward to seeing you from week to week, but it means more to me than that. The Lord established His church, and you know, the way that we heard Brother Collins testify just a couple of weeks back about the ordinances of the church and how the Lord made them so simple, and how simplistic that they are, and the simple elements that can, you know, that can be used in order for us to observe the ordinances. But you know, He made the ordinances to be observed in a way that we need to be assembled in order to observe them, didn't He? We need to, you know, what did Paul say when he wrote to the church at Corinth about the Lord's Supper? He said, when you come together into that one place. Listen, I'll tell you what, we don't need to ever be taking that ordinance divided from each other. We need to be together. We need to be assembled when we do that. I believe that this ought to take priority in our life from week to week. I'm going to say this. I thought about this, and I know that some of you are going to say, "Oh my goodness!" But you know, we have scheduled a time when we are to meet, and when you go to the house of God, go there promptly. Be on time. Just, if you're concerned about being at work on time, you certainly ought to be at the house of God on time. Be there. It shows that we're anxious and that we're ready to worship the Lord. The house of God. Think about the things that you've experienced throughout your life in going to the house of God. What did you expect today? Think about it. Ask yourself the question. You don't have to answer to me. Just ask yourself the question in your own heart, and just deal with it between you and the Lord. But did you wake up this morning and realize that it was Sunday. It was the Sabbath. It was a designated time to go to the house of God. Did you come here today with great gladness in your heart? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege that you've granted me to come to your house again, to assemble myself again with my brothers and sisters, with those who have a kindred spirit. You know, listen, as children of God, we have something among us that the world don't have. We've got a kindred spirit. I don't care how good of friends that people have out there. We've got a kindred spirit that binds us together like nobody else. We've got a fellowship that exists that's unlike anybody else in the world. Did you come excited? Did you come anticipating things? We ought to. We ought to come to the house of God with great expectation. We ought to come expecting that we will witness great things wrought by the hands of a great, mighty God. That we'll see things today and we'll hear things today that will affect us. Listen, you can spend the other 6 days of the week and you can turn on the television and you can hear all kinds of disparaging news. You can hear all kinds of things going on. You can pick up the newspaper and by the time you read it, you can be all sorts of depressed by the things that are going on in the world today. Do you stop and think? You know, I have the privilege today, I have the opportunity today to go and to sit under the sound of the voice of a man that God has called to preach His Word and to have the opportunity today to hear news from heaven, to hear something from God. Let me tell you something, I've said it before and I don't make any reservations about saying it again, church. If you don't believe you've got a pastor that's bringing you a message from the Lord, you need to get another pastor. If he's not bringing you God's message, he's not a bit of good to you. But we, you know, come here together and we hear what ought to be the greatest thing to us that we hear all week long. We take it too much for granted. You know, if I feel like going, I'll go. If I've got something else better to do, I won't go. That's a horrible way to look at the house of God. That's a horrible way to think about assembling at the house of the Lord. I'm glad to be here today. I'm thankful that God has given us this opportunity. And you ought to be willing. You ought to be willing. And you know what? I'm going to say this, if you like it or not. You ought to be willing to spend more than an hour or an hour and a half at the house of God without becoming restless and wanting to leave. You know what? I'm just going to tell the truth. You know, oftentimes people that think, well, we ought to be in church and out of church in a certain amount of time. You know, service ought to be over at a certain time and we ought to be on our way to the cafeteria or whatever. Listen, those same people won't have any reservations at all about watching 4 hours of Super Bowl. You know, we don't mind spending time with other things. We ought to come here and stay here till God's done with us. And love it. And cherish every moment that we're here. I've been assembled many times with God's people. Now, I'm not saying it has to happen here because it doesn't. But listen, I've been assembled with God's people many times and seen somebody get in trouble with the Lord. Some poor lost sinner get all tore up. Come walking up maybe to the front or bow down there at their seat. They begin to weep and they begin to mourn and they begin to pray and cry out to God. And the next thing you know, we get to experience something great. We get to hear something awesome. We get to hear somebody stand up and say, I just found the Lord. I just come to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. And that can happen here today. Amen. If you'll come to God and meet His conditions, that can happen here today. And we'll rejoice. We'll rejoice with you. They'll be rejoicing in heaven in the presence of the angels. If you repent of your sins today and place your trust, they'll be rejoicing on earth. They'll be rejoicing in heaven. And we'll leave and we'll say, my goodness, wasn't it good today to be in the house of the Lord? I'm going to ask for a song. I'm going to ask everybody to follow the Lord. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to come and pray, pray. If you're here today and you're saved, and it's a boring thing to you to come to the house of God, you come up here and pray about it too. We ought to be excited about coming to the house of God. What an opportunity. You know, we still have the freedom in our country to do this without being harassed. We still have the freedom to come and worship without the law interfering. People haven't always had that. We do. We ought to be thankful for it. Let's stand and let's sing.